Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Monday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know those blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, but you should stop by there just to see what's going on. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you want to hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with 3E.
All right, well, Dan, it looks like we have a official, unofficial trade. And I got to tell you, I'm not really thrilled and or excited about this one. The Mariners are shipping off James Paxton, just like, you know, they told. So here goes the rebuild, Mariner fans. We'll probably win, you know, 60 games next year. You know, they're shipping him, of all places, to the Yankees. So it'll be interesting to see how the Yankees adjust their free agent philosophy. In return, the Mariners are getting the Yankees' top pitching prospect, Justus Sheffield. They're also getting an outfielder by the name of Dom Thompson Williams and a right-handed pitcher by the name of Eric Swanson. Obviously, Sheffield is the key to this whole deal here. He is, what is he? My internet's running at about dial-up speed, so I'm really rolling today. He's almost 32. He'll be 23 in May. He made three appearances with the Yankees last year, a couple of starts, got knocked around pretty good. Just 2 2/3 innings, ended up with an ERA at 10.13. Obviously, you know, at the young age, you're kind of hoping that he's gonna develop into something. He's been one of the higher-rated prospects out there, so we'll see. Swanson is a 25-year-old righty who actually pitched in all three divisions of the Yankees minor leagues last year. He did go 8-2 with a 2.66 ERA, made 22 starts in 24 total appearances. So, you know, maybe they'll get lucky and find something there. And then this outfielder, Thompson Williams, is 23. He split last year between A and high A, where he did hit .299 with 20 home runs. But no surprise, he struck times in 100 games. So he seems like he's about par for the course for what baseball is today. I don't know. Did they get enough in return here, Dan? I mean, Paxton is turning into one of the top pitchers in the American League. You know, he's all a 30. Did they get their just dessert here for him?
Well, you know, I guess he's Justus is ranked 31 over time, fourth for left-handed pitchers. So he's projected to be a top lefty in the game, and then. Swanson is, they don't have his ranking. Go figure. But he was ranked 22 in the Yankees system, so he must be outside the top 100. But yeah, I think they did fairly well, but maybe for Paxton being injured last year and up in Seattle, it maybe hurt his trade value. You know, you've got to wonder, though, with the Yankees, they've made trades like this before, and they haven't really worked out as they've expected, Sonny Gray. So you wonder if it's, you know, a better deal for them. Yeah, obviously, it remains to be seen. It's a as far as, you know, the offseason goes and the move. It's a great move for the Yankees.
Yeah, you know, just a little, you know, not what I was hoping to see out of the Mariners, but obviously we're going to go the other direction, and we'll be just the next team there dropping 100 because we're going to go through the 5-year rebuilding plan because, you know, God forbid that's what you have to do, and I guess Robinson Cano will just have to go along for the ride because they couldn't give that contract away to anybody. So,
well, that's what I was going to say. Aren't they going to have, for a rebuilding team, one of the highest payrolls for a rebuilding team?
Well, you know, it's going to depend who they can dump. You know, if they can find a taker for Seager, you know, that would help out a lot. I don't think they're carrying, with the exception of Cano, and, of course, Felix, they're not going to be able to get rid of. But I believe, didn't we just have Felix in the last year?
To kind of
ride that out for 1 year, I think they would be okay. And, you know, if he does pitch well around the trade deadline, they might be able to move him somewhere now, you know, at the round out some of the draft. So there's always an opportunity there. But, yeah, that Cano contract they're stuck with. I just don't get it. You know, it makes no sense, but again, this is baseball. You know, this is what teams do, and, you know, this is how the game is played. I mean, they were right there contending, and, you know, now all of a sudden, instead of trying to add some pieces to continue to contend, we're going to go the complete opposite way, and we're going to get rid of, you know, everything we know and start all over. So,
well, and they're pretty much in the draft this year in the middle. You know, they're taking number 12, well, I guess more towards the end. They've got the number 20 pick in the first round. And then I believe after the competitive balance picks that go to Miami, Tampa, Cincy, Pittsburgh, Oakland, Milwaukee, and the Twins, we start the second round. And, you know, they go down to 59. So you've got to wonder, you know, if they're going to be able to find quality players to two rounds to really balance out with what they're getting for James Paxton.
Yeah, you know what I mean? The odd thing, well, I guess, you know, maybe, you know, at 25, you know, Swanson can find his way into the rotation. But Sheffield at 23, I don't think he's going to be ready to go. You know, he may need another year or even a year and a half before we're going to see him. So, I mean, you know, and obviously they got to sell their fans that, you know, this is the right thing to do and all this stuff. And they'll talk about him being here this year. I wouldn't count on it unless it's a September call-up. There's going to be no reason to waste the service time. So, you know, we'll have to see how it plays off. But obviously, I mean, you got to think now, right, Dan? I mean, there's no reason to hang on to D. Gordon.
No, none whatsoever.
So, and I don't know, you know, like, I don't know about Ryan Healy. I don't think he carries a very big price tag. So, you know, I won't be surprised if he ends up sticking around. You know, maybe he's another one of those guys who gets moved a little later. I mean, there are some valuable pieces. It's just the question of who's out there to be moved and who's not. I mean, do they move Diaz, who just had a gigantic year as a closer, or, you know, is he somebody you're going to try to hang on to maybe rework around?
Yeah, well, I mean, he's only 24, and he's this next year will be the last year of pre-arbitration. So they're not spending money on him.
You probably think he's sticking around then because he's not costing them anything. And I was trying to pull up the roster here, but like I said, my internet is literally running, Dan, at probably dial-up speed. I don't know what's going on with AT&T, but, man, it stinks today. I can't get anywhere I want to go online. just kind of off the top of my head, I mean, obviously, you know, Nelson Cruz is in free agency. They'll let him go. You know, absolutely no reason to bring him back. So, other than that, I think, I think the majority of their guys are young enough to hang on to, with the exception of probably Seager and Gordon. You just got to – it's just going to be kind of a wait and see game with them, and be like, who did we end up with, or what did they end up doing? Because, it's going to be. It's going to be just, I don't know,
You mentioned Dean Gordon. Now that they move Paxton, do you think the next two to try to get rid of is Dean Gordon and Gene Segura?
I don't know so much about Segura. There was a lot of talk about them hanging on to him when this first all came out. So I don't think I would be too surprised to see him kind of stick around. Again, a lot's going to depend on what his contract says. So, if I can, I'm looking here, I'm crying. I am incredibly putzing along here. I'm waiting to get thrown online here. I really am. I don't assume we're going to make it through the entire hour without me getting shipped off, because this is just ridiculously bad, and I apologize. I know I shouldn't complain about it, but
yeah, and I guess I never really paid attention to his contract. Because in 2017, he signed a 5-year, $70 million deal. So, he's not I guess he's got an option for 2023, but he's pretty much locked up for 14.25 for the next 4 years.
Yeah, so, it wouldn't be surprised to, maybe see them move him if they were to get the right offer. I'm looking at Mike Leake's due to make $16 million. I wouldn't be surprised that they would try to peddle him. But those guys, Fernandez at, a total salary of like $27 million isn't going anywhere, and Cano at $24 million isn't going anywhere. Honestly, I'm not even sure if you can deal Seager at 19 with the year he had last year without having to eat a gigantic chunk of that salary. So, it could be guys that they're just kind of stuck with going, well, okay, here we go. What are we going to be able to do with these guys? And they can just, the only thing you can hope for is, like I said, Hernandez is just 33. So if he could get off to a good start, maybe a contender would be interested come trade deadline, because if you could add him as a 4 or 5, he could be valuable to you down the stretch. Cano, again, unless you're picking up millions upon millions of that salary, I don't see anybody taking him unless there's an injury. My guess is, I don't have his contract in front of me, but my guess is guys like him and Hernandez have full no trade clauses. So they're not going to be going anywhere unless they agree to go somewhere.
Yeah, well, and the most enticing, I guess, to move would be D. Gordon, because he's getting 13, 13 and a half, 14 over the next 3 years.
Yeah, you know, like guys like Gordon and Segura, I could see, you know, they have tradable contracts. But yeah, you know, looking at Cano's due to make $24 million, counting 2019 for the next five seasons. So yeah, I don't foresee that going really anywhere, you know, unless the Dodgers, Yankees, or Red Sox or something have an injury and they need to replace it. So. But, yeah, I don't, you know. What else do we have here? Where was I wanted to look at? I know you were, oh, yeah, that's it. I wanted to see what Mike, is Mike Leake just signed for the 1 year, or is there more? Yeah, see, like, even Leake is signed for one more year and then an option year. So I, you know, and I mean, it is reasonable money. It's 16 this year and then 15 next year. But oddly, he also has a full no trade clause. I don't know who signs Mike Leake and gives him a full no trade clause, but I think that was the Cardinals. You know, so he did get moved once. Maybe he would agree to be moved again. But, you know, I don't know. I mean, you know, he's not a top of the rotation guy. So again, you know, you'd be looking for a team that's just looking to add a back of the rotation guy at, you know, in today's game is cheap money. So yeah, I don't know. It just doesn't look like, you know, there's a lot of positives here with what they're trying to do. I mean, it doesn't, you know, it doesn't seem like a smart move. And I know we're gonna sell on prospects again. You know, that's the deal. Prospects, prospects, prospects. Let's go get those prospects. But, you know, as you and I both know, these things don't always work out. So. You know, I mean, how many prospects have we seen kind of go belly up? Yeah, you know, I mean, you know what I mean? Just locally here, you got to kind of start wondering how long before we add Kyle Schwarber to that list. Because he's nowhere close to the player people have kind of projected him out to be. You know, granted, it was a small sample size for Sheffield, but he made two starts and yet only went 2 2/3 innings. I get that the bullpen is very useful in today's game, but that's not that's not anything you want to see for just a spot start kind of guy. So. Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe both those starts were against the Red Sox.
Maybe, you know, I mean, it's possible, or the Astros or something like that. But, yeah, it definitely was, a little different. But, you know, I guess we got to kind of wait and see who else is going to, you know, going to get shipped off and who else is going to hang around. But, yeah, very, very disappointing for me. I was really, you know, just kind of sad. And, you know, I hope I'm going to be like this stuff. I just not good at all. So. Oh, so, and then, all right, you know, Dan, the other big hot rumor while we're on baseball is apparently the Mets are willing to shop Noah Syndergaard, but in return, they're not looking for prospects, believe it or not. They're looking for, you know, everyday players that can help them right away. And I think this was kind of humorous because the first thing that came to mind when I heard about this trade was I said, yeah, there's going to be some idiot out there who's going to say the Cubs should swap Chris Bryant for Noah Syndergaard. Well, while I was looking at the Mariners roster on MLB.com, I have teams who should trade for Syndergaard. Number one is the Cubs. And the first name mentioned is Brian. So now are you, you know, and I know Brian's coming off a down year, but are you swapping Brian for Syndergaard? Because that would really be a straight-up type of deal. And honestly, I don't know if the Mets would do that because they're looking for more than I think just one guy. I think they're looking for multiple everyday players. And while Bryant is a superstar and could really help them, I honestly don't know if they would do that. But would you?
No, I mean, I forgot what I was going to say, actually.
Coming up on your team, Dan. He made 25 starts last year, 7 the year before that, 30 in 2016, and 24 in 2015. So you're getting a guy who's actually never made every start in a season. So,
what I was going to say was maybe the Mets will take Miguel Montero and have a couple other guys.
David Ross and,
Yeah, David Ross.
So.
No, I mean, I think that would be great, but I think the thing people don't realize is the fact that Chris Bryant wasn't extending his contract because, like you said, he had a down year. He's still in arbitration, isn't he?
Is he in or is he still? Yeah, he's in arbitration because he got $10 million last year in arbitration. So,
yeah,
he is.
So, you know, I mean, he's got a smart agent. You know, they're not going to sign low when he could quite possibly make more through arbitration the next year. And if he's, I think this is year one. I don't know if it was year one or year two. So then he can make more on year three and quite possibly go to free agency or sign a whole new contract with the Cubs. So I think people are jumping the gun way too quickly. And they forget while, you know, it's still a business.
Yeah.
But I find it funny how so quickly they were to embrace him, rookie of the year, you know, what was he, Kyle's World Series MVP, minor league MVP, rookie of the year, and then MVP, and then he doesn't win it again the next year, and everyone, and then he doesn't sign the extension this year, and now everyone's ready to drive him out of town. I don't understand that. So,
and if
they trade him. Yeah, well, and if they trade him, how are they going to sign Bryce Harper, right? They're best buds.
Yeah.
So.
Interesting. Yeah, you know, interestingly, they both Syndergaard and Bryant won't hit free agency till 2020. So they're both in their first year of arbitration eligibility. I'm wondering if that's why the Mets are more leaning, you know, a little more interested in possible moves. He's going to get a big arbitration settlement. You know, even though they're a New York team, the Mets are one of those teams that spend money. Yeah, actually, they do spend money. They spend it poorly. So, you know. Well, then here you go, Dan. So not only does this guy say the Cubs want Brian for Syndergaard, then to replace Brian, all the Cubs need to do is go on free agency and sign Machado or Donaldson. So, yeah, so now you got that, you know, Syndergaard in his first year of arbitration. You know, he's going to get good reward. Then they want you to go ahead and then spend money on Danny, you know, who's going to get, you know, and Donaldson, who are both going to probably get 20 plus million a season. You know, I think Manny is leaning more for 30. So, yeah, it's just kind of like, hey, let's just spend all that money.
Well, not only that, I just don't understand. Like, they fail to remember that Javi Baez is a while he could be the super utility guy, can you imagine him being full time at third base?
Yeah, oh yeah. So, just full time anywhere actually at this point. But, you know, we'll see. But
except for
you
the
know,
outfield.
The number two team is the Padres. Of course, the Padres have exactly what the Mets said they're not looking for, which is prospects. So I don't know how this would work out. Of course, the third team, in, of course, the same situation, the White Sox, who would have nothing but prospects to deal. Number four here is a little more interesting.
The White Sox prospects play.
You're going to take Abisail Garcia and a couple other guys. Number four here is a little more interesting. You know, I could see this working out. The Astros. You know, they have Keuchel and Morton on the free agent market. You know, if they were just to allow both those guys to leave, the Astros do have tradable pieces if they were interested in moving them. You know, along with the prospect or two they could include in, I don't know. Do they make that kind of move, realizing they're going to need it to compete with the Red Sox again and Yankees?
I think it's a good move. It would be a good move for the Astros. Like you said, they need to keep competing with the Red Sox.
Yeah, I definitely like this one. I'm not quite sure, you know, who the Astros would be willing to part ways with as a full-time guy. I mean, obviously you're not going to see an Altuve or a Correa or a Bregman go, you know, but maybe a guy like Gurriel who could be a little more replaceable. I'm sure they wouldn't have any problem moving Josh Reddick, you know, if there was some interest there. They have some really interesting bullpen guys that, you know, teams could look at, you know, like Chris Devorinsky. He wasn't as good last year as he was 2 years ago. But, you know, you wonder if maybe he, you know, if he could bounce back. There's Colin McHugh and Brad Peacock, who actually could be starters on a lot of other teams. You know, in Houston, they end up in the bullpen, but for a team like the Mets, they could be looked at as possible starters. So, you know, there are some interesting pieces that Houston might be able to put together. Would the Mets be willing to take that offer? So, and then we round out the fifth team they throw in here, and I don't understand why he didn't go back and edit this, because he has the Yankees as the fifth team. My guess now is that the Yankees have traded for James Paxton. They're probably done making deals. I don't think I would see them go out and make another trade like that, because I know they don't want to deplete that farm system, as weird as it seems to say for the Yankees, but you know, they really like it, and now, you know, they've added Paxton to Severino, Tanaka, and remember, they just brought Sabathia back. So they're pretty solid, you know, 1 through 4, and then there's talk they want to re-sign J.A. Hop. That would kind of round out that rotation, so they wouldn't really need the Syndergaard add and have to give away what they would want, even though, again, another team that could probably get away with it. Dan, I don't buy the Yankees. You buy the Yankees?
No, I mean, who would they want to give up? I think
they're... Well, Jacoby Ellsbury. Doubt anybody would take him.
Yeah.
Well, you know, there's been a lot of talk that they're really interested in moving Greg Bird. You know, you wonder if that's a possibility. I wouldn't be surprised to see them move Sanchez, you know, in the right deal. I could see him possibly, you know, getting shipped off. But, yeah, other than that, I don't know. And I can't see them. I just can't see them doing this. It's especially with the Paxton trade now. This doesn't work with, you know, with what they've got going on. So I'm willing to bet, Dan, it was just another one of those cases where, you know, the one thing in common with every player or free agent is that he's going to the Yankees. And
yeah.
I think this was just one of where this guy was like, oh, well, he's going to go to the Yankees. Of course he's going to go to the Yankees. Everybody goes to the Yankees. So he was trying to make a square peg fit in a round hole, and it just didn't work.
Well, and, you know, both Chicago teams, I think it works, like you said, because he was like, okay, well, if they, you know, they trade Syndergaard, who are the top teams in contention for, or allegedly, I don't even want to say in contention, because they're all in contention until the deal is rejected by Manny or Bryce. But both Chicago teams, because, like you said, oh, he moved, what's his name, Bryant, and then you immediately go sign Machado, who keeps saying over and over that he doesn't want to play third base, which, oh, but for the money, he's going to play. He's going to play for the team that pays him the money to play shortstop. Just because you want him to play third base, i.e. the Cubs or even the White Sox, he's not going to sign there because he doesn't want to play third base.
Right.
He's not going to play for the Yankees because he doesn't want to hustle. But that's another topic. And then, you know, again, same thing with the White Sox. I'm sorry, but everyone's like, oh, well, what about Tim Anderson if they sign Machado? What about Tim Anderson if they sign Machado? You move Tim Anderson. You don't move Machado.
And you know, Anderson can play the outfield. He's played the outfield before.
Yeah.
So just be a natural move to probably move the, you know, probably center field with speed.
Yeah. Well, and like you said, you know, the White Sox, they have everyday players, technically, Avisail Garcia. You take Tim Anderson, you send him to the Mets for those two guys to get back Syndergaard. And then what happens next, Big Jack? Oh, I know. They signed both Bryce Harper and Machado.
Yes, that solves their problem.
Yeah, exactly. So, and then that's it. They've got, you know, four guys. But, you know, like I said, I feel like it's easy to just kind of pick the teams that are allegedly in the top contention, you know, for Bryce and for Machado. But I still think the Cubs are kind of a good fit because they do have a lot of everyday players, just like you said the Astros do. Do I think it's a straight-up trade, Noah for Bryant? No, it's stupid. And I think it's stupid for people to sit here and think because he didn't extend his contract after the first year of arbitration, that he's not loyal to his team and all that crap. I mean, just remember what Jake Arrieta said, and granted, he didn't resign here, but it turns out the Cubs, in year one, they lost that deal. Well, you know, whatever you want to call it, they lost. You know, it's kind of Arrieta 1, Cubs 0 for year one, but we've got a few more years to go. But
you know,
the same token,
I
mean,
you know, maybe you can explain this to me, Dan, with fans. Why did he have to sign that deal when, A, he's going to be here minimum the next three seasons unless they trade him? And obviously, he's going to make more money down the road. You know, that would be like saying, okay, you're at your job and they say, well, we're going to give you, you know, 25 cents a year. We're going to guarantee you 25 cents a year, a raise right now for 5 years, when you know you could make more than that. But why would you take that deal? I mean, that's just stupid.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, you know, because they hear of deals like Eugenio Suarez in Cincinnati, who really didn't have a name or a high value prior to signing that 6-year deal, which sounds great, but I mean, for Chris Bryant, for the potential that he has, and like you said, he had a down year last year, and I think he knows he had a down year last year. His agent definitely knows that, and I think the belief behind him is that he's going to continue to progress, and that will up the value. And why would you commit to 6 to 7 years when in 3 years you can make, you know, a lot more money? I'm not going to give you numbers because I don't have them.
From the side, you know, I fully understand them wanting to eat up his arbitration years because, you know, mm-hmm. they're going to get crushed in his his arbitration hearings. I mean, you know, by the time that last arbitration hearing comes around, he'll probably be awarded $20 or $25 million a year. So, you know, I fully understand that business move. That's smart business. But, you know, on the other end, it's pretty simple for Bryant to make the smart business move and him and his management team, Scott Boras, say no.
I didn't even realize that he's in there, but that's obvious. You know, it's pretty obvious. And, you know, and now that you threw that in there, it's obvious that he's not going to sign a contract for any term while his client is in arbitration. So I think everyone needs to get over that and, you know, turn off your car because you're not driving him out of town so quickly. And when his numbers bounce back and he bounces back next year, everyone's going to, well, I never said that. If I did, I was drunk.
Right.
You
remember,
but, you know, again,
you know, Shopper schooled him all year. You know, I got the emails about how bad and how terrible he was. And remember, 2 years ago, it was Baez was the guy who was terrible and bad and hated him. You know, I mean, I don't know the reasoning behind it. I mean, it goes all the way back to Starling Castro, you know, when they ran him out of town for whatever reason, and they basically got nothing in return for him. You know, I don't get it. You know, I mean, you know, Bryant was hurt most of the year. He played through an injury. He didn't use it as an excuse. You know, you wonder how much that affected him.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we got a few more years to take a look here. And, you know, I mean, obviously by the Cubs holding him back, they got that extra year, you know, and now it's going to kind of come back to bite him because he's going to get a big arbitration reward in it.
Yeah, well, and, you know, like you mentioned in the what the Mets were looking for was everyday players, and I think you stressed that plural on that, and, you know, the Cubs do have that, and you got to look at the needs of the Mets. You know, obviously third base is a need, but if they still have the shortstop kid, now I can't even think of his name, Wilmer Defoe?
Rosario.
I don't know if he's still there.
No,
Rosario.
Ahmed Rosario.
See, but, you know, with shortstop, of course, you know, again, another guy who's ready to be shipped out of town is Russell. And as far as I'm not ready to jump on that bandwagon, I think it's kind of clear that that's one of the moves that Theo and company wants to make, as they completely backpedaled on him. And then you've got guys like Ian Happ. I don't think Schwarber would go down in a deal like that. But right there, Ian Happ, Addison Russell, even Albert Almora, who I think of the three, kind of edge out, but those three guys can play every day. Now, I personally wouldn't, if I were the Mets, I wouldn't go for Happ. I would definitely be looking at Russell and Almora. And maybe you can get a prospect to throw in. Who knows? But, you know, trading Chris Bryant for Syndergaard, I don't think it truly solves their problems.
No, not. You know, it would be a good start to helping them out, but yeah, you know, it's, you know, there's definitely much more they would need to, you know, get where the, because, you know, it's weird because, like, you look at their everyday lineup, and obviously they're going to have to go without Cespedes again. You know, who knows if he'll even get back from, you know, double surgery. You know, so, but, you know, the lineup is, you know, what you would kind of call solid. It doesn't stink, but it's not good. So, you know, it's just kind of a weird situation they're in with a lot of veteran guys that you just wonder if they could do anything. I mean, I didn't understand why they re-signed Jay Bruce after they shipped him off to the Indians. You know, because they had Michael Conforto, they had Brandon Nimmo. So they overcomplicated the outfield where Cespedes was still healthy by adding Bruce. You know, it worked out that Cespedes just happened to fall off the face of the earth. But, And I guess it finally looks like Dominic Smith is going to get a shot to prove he can be the everyday first baseman, something they probably should have figured out last year. They're still hanging around with Travis Dunald at catcher, even though he's been a complete bust after, just being, again, a superstar prospect that didn't work out. Jeff McNeil looked good at the end of the year. I guess we'll see how he does every day at second. And, Todd Frazier is capable at third, a solid defender, going to hit you a lot of home runs, but his average is going to suck. So, you look at the lineup and you go, okay. They'll get Juan Lagares back from injury. He'll be a nice fourth outfield kind of piece. But the rotation, you go, oh, my God, look at this rotation. DeGrom, Syndergaard, Wheeler, who made it through the year healthy last year, Steven Matz, and then Jason Vargas at five is a nice little compliment. Sadly, Trey and Familia made the bullpen a joke last year, so, they got work to do there. But, and especially in the AL East where you don't know what's going to happen, with a rotation like that, just enough hitting, you could contend.
Look at the Phillies and the Braves.
Right. You can't tell me that the Braves lineup was that much more dominant than what I just read you about the Mets. granted, they had a lot of younger guys, but Conforto is a young guy who, looked like a player. We'll see if Smith can do the job, and McNeil's another young guy. So they have a couple young pieces. I don't think Nemo's very old either if he's going to play every day. So, there are spots here and there where you can kind of go, oh. And, of course, Rosario has kind of established himself at short. He's just got to prove he can hit. He's a very good defender. I'm not saying they're going to win the World Series or anything like that, but, if all of a sudden they were hanging around contending for the East, I wouldn't be surprised, if they could stay healthy and, guys had really good, solid years. And if you could somehow manage, imagine if Cespedes comes back for August or September run and is healthy. Boy, talk about a trade deadline acquisition. That would work out really well if he's Cespedes.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't – I get it. It's like you always say, these guys need things to write about this time of year. So we do these kind of things. But, I didn't know if you saw this one, Dan. We actually had a signing. We had a free agent signing. So did you catch that one?
No, I was all over the James Paxton.
It was the Nationals, Washington going out and make a move. They signed Kurt Suzuki, the catcher, for two years and $10 million. Yeah, apparently terms are it's $4 million, $4 million next year and $6 million the year after. He is 35, but my guess is he's going to mentor whichever one of these catching prospects the Nationals decide they're going to go with. They have Pedro Severino, who was supposed to be the guy. That was the guy Wieters was supposed to mentor when they signed him, but, it never really happened. Spencer Kaboom, I believe it's Kiboom, but I like Kaboom better, spent a lot of time on the roster last year. And then they have, I believe this is pronounced Randy, even though it's R-A-U-D-Y, Reed, who's a third catching prospect in the organization. Suzuki's kind of the perfect veteran guy to do this, isn't he? I mean, he's a really good handler of pitching staffs. He's a really solid defender. I guess if you want a veteran to mentor, he would kind of be the guy, right?
Yeah, well, I was going to say, is he becoming like the next Henry Blanco?
Yeah, I think so. He's starting to be that guy where I think he's going to – well, he is 35, so I don't know how much longer he can do it. But I could see him going somewhere else after this for a couple more years and mentoring some other, catching staff.
Well, I mean, he's pretty much caught everybody in the league.
Yeah. So yeah, he's you know, he's definitely, you know, he's made his rounds. You know, again, never you know, of course, I think he made an All-Star team when he was with the Twins, if I'm not mistaken. I have to double check that here while I'm pulling up the stats. Yeah, he actually did make an All-Star team. What year was that? Yeah, 2014 with Minnesota. But yeah, you know, this will be his second stop in Washington. You know, he came over at the end of the, you know, he was moved over at the 2012 season and hung around a little bit for 2013. Humorously, Dan, he went from Oakland to Washington back to Oakland. So I guess they just couldn't decide what they wanted to do with him.
East to West and back again.
Yeah. So yeah, you know, and then he spent a few years in Minnesota, and then, you know, on a couple years in Minnesota, a couple years in Atlanta, and, you know, now he's headed back to Washington. So, but yeah, definitely, you know, definite solid veteran add. I mean, you know, he's not gonna, you know, lead the league in hitting, but he's a very solid, you know, he 258 career, but his 2 years in Atlanta, he had 271 and 283. He had a career high 19 homers 2 years ago, ended up with just 12 last year. So he'll get you in the double digits, you know, which is pretty much what you can ask. But, you know, for his career, he's thrown out 24% of the guys trying to steal against him, which, you know, isn't too bad. So, yeah, you know, again, just another, you know, another one of those things where it's kind of like, ah, you know, that's a nice ad. You know, not going to blow anybody out of the water, but it's like, hey, that's a nice little ad. Hopefully, you know, we'll have to see if it helps them out.
And it still saves money to sign Bryce Harper for 30 years.
Yes. Or 1 year for 45, if you want to go that route. Do you know what, Dan? When is the Hall of Fame voting? Do you know when it comes out?
I didn't even think about that. I know I just posted, or I thought about posting it. I actually did.
January 22nd, the results will be announced. Because they were talking about, you know, obviously Mariano's on the ballot this year, Dan. He's going in as a lock, right?
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, they had some other guys who they thought might be first ballot. I don't know if I'm sold on them all. You know, they mentioned Roy Halladay, Todd Helton, Andy Pettit, who I don't buy. Those are three guys they run on there. I don't know. Are you buying any of these guys going in on year one?
I think maybe Halladay for – the tragedy boosts it, maybe gives them some more.
Yeah, kind of sentimental reasons.
Yeah. But, you know, I don't take anything away from his career. But Todd Helton, definitely Rockies Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
are they still into that thing where they're trying to balance out the Hall of Fame with, you know, players from certain teams so that they can, you know, attract people to the Hall of Fame? You know, I can't off the top of my head and how many Rockies are there, but, you know, 17 years, I believe it was, playing, I believe it was, I could be wrong, was it first base?
Or yes.
Was an outfielder? So,
no,
you know, for one
base,
team, it's pretty unheard of. But also, I hate to say it, being stuck there in Colorado, you kind of forgot about him sometimes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Todd Helton's here. You know, so I think that would be one of the things that hurt him if there was a popular vote. But, you know, like I said, he's positioned if they're trying to get in Rockies. And you remember when Andre Dawson was voted in, he went in as an Expo, which I think many people believed he should have went in as a Cub. But, you know, that was the last year of the franchise, so that's, you know, how that ended. But, yeah, I'm kind of agreeing with you on Pettit.
Yeah, you know, I mean, what they're going to do with Pettit, just like it says here, they're going to push his postseason on you because, you know, he did really well in the postseason, so they're gonna stick that down your throat. And then, of course, being a Yankee is going to give him a natural boost. But, yeah, I want to double-check his stats before I say too much career-wise, but I don't think he's I mean, to be honest with you, I don't think he's a Hall of Famer, period. He pitched for 18 years, 255 and 153 with a 3.85 ERA. So he does have a pretty high ERA. Not a gigantic strikeout guy, 2,448 in his career. So, you know, but yeah, like I said, what they're going to do, yeah.
Didn't he try to make a comeback after being out for so long?
Yeah, I think he took a year off. Yeah, he left in 2010. He took all of 2011 off, and then he came back in 20. So, but yeah, what they're going to beat you over the head with, Dan, and what's weird is I don't know if it's as great as they think it is. He is 19-11 in the postseason, but his ERA is 3.81. So I don't know if that's the gigantic case that they're looking for. I mean, he's a three-time All-Star, a five-time World Series winner, and he is an ALCS MVP, but there's no Cy Young on his resume, Dan.
Ooh. Well, I think
you know,
he was part of the World
Series.
He won games
twice, but again, yeah. You know, I mean, and you wonder how much his career, because like here in 2003, he won 21 games with the Yankees, but his ERA was 4.02. So obviously he got a ton of offensive support. You know, and a lot of his years were like that. He had a 19-win season with a 4.35 ERA. So, yeah, I don't know. You know, he's definitely not a first ballot guy. I don't know, to me, if he's a guy at all. You know, I don't know if I buy that. I mean, we can compare him to a guy like Halliday, you know, since they're both jumping on the ballot here together. And, that I don't believe at all, but let's try this again. So, what did I do? I don't know how to spell Roy Halliday. Jeez. So, come on, Mr. Internet. There you go. Halliday was around for 16 years. He was 203 and 105 with an ERA of 338. So, you know, it was marginally lower. You know, a little more of an average strikeout guy. He had 21-17, you know, in his career. But then you go back, and he's a two-time Cy Young Award winner and an eight-time All-Star. So, you know, and while he doesn't have those World Series, you know, he was 3-2 in the postseason with a 2.73 ERA. So, you know, while it's a limited size compared to Pettit's, it's much, much better numbers. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm not buying them. And, you know, then can you, there we go. Let's try this. Come on, there we go. See, I knew somebody was going to fall off, Dan. Give me some good news here, Dan, and tell me Edgar Martinez is going to go in on his last chance on the ballot.
I think he gets voted in by the Veterans Committee or whatever they call it now.
Yeah.
Or, you know, the other thing with today's game and RBIs being a lucky stat, same with wins, wouldn't it just by default or using that theory essentially say that being a part of the World Series team five times was lucky
Yeah, I mean, you know, with the way they talk about it, isn't it? You just happen to be on that team.
You know, and that's one of the things that I think would either get us a lot of views on TV if we were, you know, the or, you know, the antagonist to Brian Kenny or such. But, you know, that happens a lot in Facebook groups when I use somebody's logic the same way they used it, but I replace the words, and then they get all mad at me and tell me that, you know, that's wrong, and, you know, now you're just making a mockery and you're being sarcastic. And I go, no, I'm just using your logic. So your theory suggests, as far as, you know, today's game goes, the theory that RBIs and wins, for that matter, are lucky, then how can you vote a guy just because he was on a World Series five times?
Right.
Because essentially that's just luck, that he got lucky he was put on those teams.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, especially, I mean, unless you're the number one draft pick in the draft, it's lucky for you to get drafted by any team, because there are teams that are passing on you that you could have been on.
Yeah.
So, you know, but, you know, there are a couple former Cub greats, Dan, making their first appearance. Ted Lilly and Juan Pierre. I don't know if they'll get the 5% needed to stick around on the ballot, but they are on this year.
Yeah, well, I mean, Juan Pierre played for everybody, so he should get, you know, a lot of votes from every single market. He played in almost every market.
Yeah, you would think. And, you know, I mean, in reality, he did have 22-17, you know, for career hits, and he stole 614 bases. So,
yeah.
You know, he's got to be up there all time in that stat. I mean, again, stolen bases, you know, that only matters when they needed to get Mike Trout over. But, you know, just kind of fun that some, you know, these guys pop up on the ballot and, you know, we get to see their names and, you know, that kind of stuff. But, you know, like Gary Sheffield is still hanging around. I don't think he'll ever get in, even though I would be a big supporter. But, you know, that's just me. I always like Gary Sheffield for some reason. So.
So did I. I mean, I followed his career, and I was really disappointed that he never became a Cub. He was a Brave before he decided to come to Chicago, which I thought would have been an awesome addition for the Cubs to make. But that's what happens when the newspaper runs your team. But, you know, you've got to wonder his relation to Daryl Strawberry. Does that kill any of it?
Yeah, you know, I know he wasn't the best with the media at times, especially young, you know, in the beginning of his career. So, you know, that kills him. So, you know, no matter what they say, oh, yeah, no, I think we know you do.
What's that ring?
Oh, man, I think